We have a reading now, 2 Kings 6, verse 24. Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. And there was a great famine in the city. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why wait here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine's there and we will die. If we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die anyway." So at dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. And the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and they ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned to another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. And then they said to each other, "What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, "We went into the Aramean camp and no one was there, not a sound of anyone, only horses and donkeys, and the tents just left as they were." The gatekeepers shouted the news, and it was reported within the palace. And then all the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans.
I'm going to be asking for lots of volunteers, so I hope you're ready to volunteer. Yep, not yet, but soon. Hold on. Oh, good. I can see you're ready. That's wonderful, wonderful. Because I have already chosen one volunteer, and he wasn't... Well, you're okay, aren't you, Mabazi, wherever you are? Yes, he's okay, he's fine. Cool, yes, he's fine, but it's not, his big moment is not yet. Okay, so I don't think I've ever taught the story that I'm going to start off with today. Not from here, not in Sunday school, not anywhere else. But I just felt that God was telling me, yeah, this is the one you start with today. So what we're going to pretend we're doing is we're going to pretend we're posting three different pictures on Facebook or Instagram or any other social media site. Or if that's not anything to do with you, we're just taking three snapshots, all right? And so in our first photo, we have, ta-da, a tent. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a tent on this stage before. I've not put one there before. Other things, yes, tent, no. But there you are, there's our tent. And the reason for the tent is this. We're going to imagine that we're back 2,500 years ago, okay? We're in a part of Israel called Samaria, and specifically the city of Samaria is you upstairs, okay? You are the city of Samaria. Okay, got that. And all of you down here are the attacking army, the Arameans, all right? And this beautiful place here is your camp. Now, we've only got one tent. It's symbolic, you know, but you've all got your tents. And what you're doing is actually stopping any food of any kind getting in to the city. That's all you're doing. So it's quite boring fighting for you. So would you like to give me a yawn? Oh, very, very convincing. All right. Now, the people upstairs, you have no food left. It would be like you popped down to Elmer's End for a loaf of bread in Tesco's, and you found there was no bread, no cake, no baked beans, no nothing. Tesco's had run out of everything. So you thought, oh, that's all right. I'll go up to Crystal Palace, I'll go to Sainsbury's. You get there, they've run out of everything. So you think, I'll go down to Aldi. No, they've got nothing. Okay, so you've got nothing, nothing, nothing. So you are starving. Can we hear some groans as if you were starving up there? A bit more convincing. They're too weak to groan. Okay, okay, I'll let you have that. All right. Now, first up, I need four volunteers. Four. Okay. One, two, three, four. Yeah. I've got to have the twins together, otherwise there might be sibling rivalry. Right, okay. Now, you four, you belong to them up there, okay? They are your people. You all live in the city of Samaria. And you're hungry too, so can you have some hungry groans and moans? Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, okay, cool. Right, so you're hungry. But you also have another problem. You have a very nasty skin disease called leprosy. Okay. And it was very contagious. It still is, but now we have medicines that can treat it. But back then they had no medicines. If you had leprosy, you were not allowed to live with your family any longer. You were not allowed to go to work. All you could do was sit at the city gate and beg and hope that people would give you money or food. So what I want you to do is to go down to the door at the end. Eddie will show you where to go. And that's where you're sitting and you are begging for food. The only problem is nobody has any food to give you. So these four with their leprosy are starving, 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 and they are getting desperate. So what they decide to do is this. They say to each other, okay, we got no food. The city has got no food. But in the camp, they've got food. So what we'll do, we'll creep into the camp. Maybe they might take pity on us and throw us a bit of food. But if they don't, they'll kill us and we'll die anyway. So we've got nothing to lose. So our four down there waited until it was dark. And then they crept into the camp. So would you like to come and creep back this way? All four of you. Not just the one, but all four of you. Okay, your hands are up in surrender, are they? Right, now I want you to go into this tent and see if you find anything. What have you found? Yes, out you come. Out you come. Yay, they found the heroes. Now then, because they are such wonderful volunteers, one each.
I might add, I'm a wonderful eater.
I'm sure you're a wonderful eater. Okay, cool. Now later on, these will be available. But for the moment, they're there, and even I am not eating them. But you can. I give you permission. Okay, so here they are. They've got their food. They've also found in the tent, they found beautiful clothes, they found jewellery, they found loads and loads of lovely stuff. So would you like to leap about and be happy? Yay, big leap, wonderful. Okay, and then I want you to stop and say to each other, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
This is a day of good news.
This is a day of good news.
Okay, and you decide that you mustn't keep it to yourself. So you're going to run back up there and tell them that the camp is empty. Now, why is the camp empty? Because God has done something amazing. He's made all of you think that you can hear another army coming. And the army is coming to attack you. And so you have all got up in the middle of the night and cleared off. Don't do it, please. So you have gone. The camp is empty. And they can go upstairs or into the city and tell the good news. Now look, here's the thing. This is a day of good news. That's what they said. And we, all of us, we have good news. What's the good news that we have? Anybody got any idea about our good news? Yes, darling. that Jesus died on the cross for us. Would you like to come up? Because I just so happen in my box to have a cross. If you'd like to hold that up so everyone can see it. Look, see, this is our good news. Move a little to the side. That's it. Wonderful. Then Anna can see you properly, and so can everybody else, I hope. This is our good news, that God loved us so much that he didn't leave us in the dark, but he sent Jesus, and Jesus went to the cross for us so that we could have the gift of eternal life and forgiveness and Jesus with us always by his Spirit. And if you don't know that this morning, if you don't know that this cross is where Jesus died for you, please don't go home without speaking to somebody about that, the fact that Jesus loves you. But you see, this morning we're thinking about how we serve God, and we can serve God in all sorts of different ways, but in the end it comes down to this, our good news about Jesus. And this is the good news of his love that we're going to share. And we're going to think about different ways that we share his love now. Thank you very much for coming up to help me. Would you like one of these? Righty-ho then. Okay, so that's our first photo on Facebook, our tent. And it reminds us of the good news of Jesus. Okay then, next photo is one of these. A towel. Thank you, darling. It's a towel. Yes. Okay. Now for this one, I need up to 13 volunteers. Yay. Fabulous. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes. Again. Yes. 9, 10. Yep. 11. Yes. Come.
And 12.
Okay. Oh, hello. Now. Okay. Okay, cool. Right. Who would like the towel?
Me.
Emma. Okay. The rest of you, can you possibly manage to sit very carefully on the edge of the stage? Yes, there's room down that end. You squish in. That's it. Well done. Okay, now then, we have to use our imaginations again. I'll stand by Emma. I'm wearing Emma's earrings. I'll stand by her. Right, we have to imagine now that we've fast-forwarded 500 years. And now we're in the time of the life of Jesus. And for the purposes of our little role play here, Emma is taking the role of Jesus. Okay. And all of you are Jesus' followers, his disciples, and you are getting ready for the Passover, a big party that you held every year. And Jews today still celebrate the Passover. Now, you have come to the house where you've got ready for the Passover, and you've been walking along some pretty dusty roads, and roads where there have been maybe horses or donkeys or camels, and so quite stinky roads. And you are wearing open sandals. So what do you think will be the state of your feet?
Musty.
Musty, that's a good word. Yeah, there might be some poo on your feet. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, you've got dirty feet. And the custom was in those days that whoever's house it was would come to you, or they would send a servant, possibly a child, to wash your feet before you had your meal. Now, nobody's come to wash your feet. Nobody. And you're all looking at each other thinking, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Who do you think I am? And then, to your surprise, Jesus gets a towel and kneels down in front of first one and then the other and begins to wash feet. Emma, you don't have to do taking shoes off or anything, just a little pretend mime that you're washing their feet. Okay. Okay. While Emma's doing that and you're all waiting to have your role play feet washed, let's think about this. Jesus was their leader. he did the job of a slave, of a servant, washing their feet. Now, do you know what Jesus said at this point? He said, or what John says about Jesus at this point, he says, Jesus had always loved those who were his own in the world, these followers. And he loved them all the way to the end. Because remember, this is nearly the end of Jesus' life. The next day after this, he was going to die. But you see, everything that Jesus allows into our lives or sends our way comes from his heart of love. And even though it seems to us that sometimes our life is hard, he still loves us and he still wants to walk with us through those tough times. So, here we are. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. Thank you very much. And when it was all done, okay, Jesus said to his friends, do you understand what I've done for you? I've given you an example. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. Now, what do you think he meant by that? Any ideas? Yes.
If someone else can do something, then you should be able to do it as well.
If someone else can do something, you should be able to do it as well. That's not a bad answer. Any other answers? Is he? He's made you his, so you should be able to make others his. Oh, I see, that's lovely. That's lovely. Yes, darling. Treat others like you would want them to treat you. All of those are really, really good answers. Now, I think it's a bit more than that. I think it's to do with the boring jobs, the maybe dirty jobs, the jobs that nobody else wants to do. Let's have the first picture, can we? Okay, I don't know if you can see these two boys. Charlotte will definitely know who they are. Anybody else know who they are? Yes, it's Steve and Nubisa's two boys, Luca and Marco. And one day Luca said to his mum, Mama, let's go down our road and pick up some rubbish, some plastic, because we don't want it getting into the sea and killing the animals. And yes, oh, yes. So they went out, these little boys, and they picked up 3 bags full of rubbish. If you can just see a red-gloved hand in the corner, that's Steve. But I didn't put him in the picture because the boys are cute. And Steve's lovely, but maybe not cute. Anyway, there's the boys. I wanted you to remember the boys because it's them. It was them. It was their idea that they were going to do this job, that nobody else had done it, but they went out and picked up the litter. Now, there are quite a few rubbish jobs, quite a few boring jobs. I'm going to tell you a story now which you won't forget, but what I want you to remember is that sometimes God calls us to do the not very nice jobs. Okay, true story. Just a few weeks ago, I went round to my daughter's house early in the morning to see to the grandchildren, get their breakfast and so on before school. And my daughter has just moved into her house and she has 4 cats. Now, I don't know if you know, but when you move with cats, you have to keep them in the house for a while so that they get used to their new home and they don't try and find their way back to their old house. And this was during the time when the cats had to be kept in the house. So this particular day, I opened the door, stepped onto the doormat. Yes, oh, a cat had done a poo on the doormat. It was the nearest the cat could get to getting out, and rather than use the litter tray, they'd use the doormat. So I have now got poo on my shoe. But I didn't realize I got poo on my shoe. And so I walked along the hallway. Nobody's in the kitchen, so I then went upstairs. And my daughter's has a townhouse. So I went up the first flight of stairs, along the landing, up the next flight of stairs, along the second landing to my daughter's bedroom doorway where she was there. And she said, oh, hi, Mum. And then we both looked at the way I'd come. And there, yes, there were little brown marks the length of my stride along every landing and along on every alternate step as I'd gone up the stairs. So I rang Eddie and said, please, can you bring the Vanish spray? Other sprays are available. Please, can you bring the Vanish spray? And he came round and I went along every step and started to spray. Because I didn't want my daughter to have to come home from work and start cleaning up cat poo. So I did it. Got down on my knees and scrubbed that carpet clean all the way up the stairs and all the way along the landing. See, there are jobs that are not interesting and not very nice, but God may be calling us to do some of them. Okay, let's have a look at what I've got. What might this be? To scrub the dishes with, yes. You might have a dishwasher in your house, but it still needs loading. Somebody needs to scrub the dishes. Does it always have to be the same person in your house? Does it always have to be the same person after a church function? Maybe God's saying, could you do some washing up? That's one thing. What about this? Dustpan and brush. There's always sweeping up to be done. After church do's in your home. That's something you could do as service for Jesus. While we're here. Toilet brush. Yep. Toilets need to be cleaned. Does it always have to be the same person who's doing it? And while I'm on this subject, we have a wonderful church cleaner. You have a wonderful church cleaner who cleans the loos here so that when you go to the loo, it's clean. But our cleaner, your cleaner, like everybody else, deserves and is going to have a summer holiday. And I've seen on the church bulletin requests for people to help with the church cleaning. Now think of this loo brush. Think of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. Could that be you? Could that be your service for this church just right now? Couple more. This one. Trowel, yep. Now all around this church we have very beautiful gardens. Somebody keeps them beautiful. But she might really appreciate some help from time to time. Find out who it is and see if she would appreciate help. That's another way that you could serve Jesus. And this one. Oh, I love this one. Yeah, it's a litter picker. I don't think Luca and Marco used one of these. But it may be that in your neighbourhood, or after a church activity, you could be the one picking up the litter. Because Jesus said he'd given us an example that we should follow in his steps. Okay, now, I've got one more story, one more photo that we're going to put on Facebook. And I'd quite like you to stay there, except for Izzy, because your big moment will come. So if you can go and get your props. And now then, I need Mabaisy for his big moment. All right, Eddie's going to sort you out for your big moment. Here we go. This is a story that has been told from this platform before, but I don't know how many of you will remember it. And if you don't remember it, it doesn't matter, because it will teach you something really good. Now then, here is a man, Mabaisy, who is a water carrier. He lives in India. It's a very dry place. And every day he goes to the well. He goes to the well to fetch water. You've got it the wrong way around. It doesn't matter. I will ask Izzy. Izzy, this side. Okay, cool. Right. Now, Mabaisy has been to the well and he's dipped his pots in the well He's actually doing it. If you can't see him, he's actually doing it. And now his pots are full of water, and he's going to bring them back up here. That's it. And it's tipping like that because one pot is full of water and the other one, come up here, Mabezi, so everyone can see. The other one, go back down the same side. Oh, and, yeah, and along here as well. The other one, if you can see, let's hold this up. It's full of cracks. It's a cracked pot and the water is all dribbling out the bottom. Okay, thank you, Mabezi, thank you. Now then. Oh, I need those because they've got to talk to each other now. This is where you really need your imagination. These two pots have a little conversation. And this one, the whole one, says to the other one, huh, look at me, I'm beautiful, I'm complete. When our master gets back home with me, I am full. You're no good, you leak. And this one says to the master, actually, he's right. I am a cracked pot. I do leak. I'm no good to you. You ought to get rid of me. But the master said, no, just look back down the way you have come. Can you look? Look down there. Look. What can you see? Flowers. You can see flowers. Because as the water was dripping out of the cracked pot, it was watering the earth and enabling the flowers to grow. And the man who was the water carrier could see those flowers and know that it was his cracked pot that had helped them grow. He could pick those flowers, some of them, and put them in his house, and make his house beautiful. All because the pot was cracked. So he didn't want to throw away the cracked pot. He wanted to carry on using it because it was useful to him. And we've got flowers all the way along the stage. Thank you, Izzy. That was lovely. Now, I'm not suggesting that anybody here is a cracked pot, but you might feel like one. But I'm not so sure that, well, there might be people here who feel that they're not good enough to serve God. You might perhaps have low self-esteem. Maybe you're no good at games and you were always the last person to be chosen for the team. You know that feeling? Or maybe you've had some hard knocks in life and you can't live with your mum or dad anymore. Maybe you've got a disability and you haven't been able to follow your chosen career path. Maybe you've got mental health issues. You're divorced, you're single, you think you're too young, too old, too ill, you can't possibly serve God. But listen, God made you uniquely you. And he wants to use you. Oscar Wilde, you don't often hear him quoted, but here we go. Oscar Wilde said this, be yourself, everyone else is taken. See, God made you to be you. And the Bible says that God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. If I can wake Robert up again and we can see the second picture, there may be someone, well, hopefully you might recognize both of the people in here. There it is. Who remembers this young man? Nathan. Yes, it's Nathan. He was the student pastor here 5 years ago or so. 5 years ago. Humanly speaking, he didn't look much. He was tall, he was skinny, a bit geeky looking, glasses, and he had a very serious heart condition. He could have locked himself away in a protective bubble, but he didn't. He threw himself into life and serving God in big and small ways. Just to ask you, does anyone here feel that their life was touched by Nathan's life? Yeah. Still, he died 5 years ago. A young man, 21. It would have been his birthday next week. And his mum and dad know that I'm speaking about him today. But what I'm saying is,
Nothing can disqualify you from serving God, so don't disqualify yourself. You think back to our four volunteers, those four men with the nasty skin disease. They were no good to their families or their society, but in the end, they were the one who saved their society because they told the good news that the enemy had gone and everybody could go into the camp and get food. So if you're feeling like a cracked pot this morning, why don't you just give yourself to Jesus and say, Lord, how do you want me to serve you? But there's one more thing. It's very possible to serve God and get exhausted. So I want you to look at these banners behind me. They're there every week. I'm quite sure that you don't even read them anymore. But I want you to read them with me now. Everybody, out loud. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Okay. Thank you for reading it again. That was lovely. You see, if we try to serve the Lord Jesus without asking him for his Spirit to fill us and equip us and keep on filling us and giving us the energy to serve him, we will get exhausted. But Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. And that's, we've come full circle now. We receive the Holy Spirit and he gives us the power to serve Jesus and be his witnesses in whatever way he calls us. Whether it's playing in the band or whether it's picking up litter, it is all part of our service for him. Back on, David. Yes, thank you. Okay, if you don't have one of these, I wonder if the people on the door could just quickly give them out. If you put your hand up if you don't have one. Oh, well done, Jacob. Thank you. Put your hand up if you don't have one, and Jacob's coming round. Upstairs, they are there. Jacob, I think at the front row here they need them. Thank you. Thank you. And then Chirabo over here. And the musicians don't have them. Right, Jacob, could you bring them up to the musicians, please? Oh, and there's more. Wonderful. Thank you, Jacob. You're doing a grand job. You see, that's the sort of example of serving Jesus. Just there's a job that needs doing, and Jacob has done it. Now, I know it's a gingerbread man. I know it is. But I want you to pretend that this figure on here represents you. When you go home, if you want to give it a face and decorate it, you can. But this is a representation of you, with the words on the top from Jesus, I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. And I wonder if each of us can just hold our piece of paper like this, just in our hands like this, with it facing upwards. Well done. Well done. Beautiful. And I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if you agree with the prayer that I pray, will you please say a big loud amen at the end? Lord Jesus, I give myself to you to serve you in whatever way you call me. Amen. Thank you. Now you keep this, take it home as a reminder of that prayer and of Jesus' example when he washed the disciples' feet. Thank you.